1 Peter chapter 1 in our Bibles. It is unusual, isn't it, right now, temperature-wise outside. So it's sometimes a little difficult to regulate here. You don't plan on 70 degrees in November. It's terrible weather. It is. It's horrible. The deer go to sleep. They don't move. They lay down. This is horrible. We've got to pray for some sleet and snow. Amen. And 32 degrees. How many of you will join me this week in praying for that? All right. There they are. There you go. There's the outdoorsman. I see you out there. Amen. All right. All right. Let's stand together, please. And we'll begin reading in verse number. Let's see where I want to go here. Let's read verses 6, 7, and 8 this morning, okay? Let's go back to verse number 9, 6 through 9. Peter writing here, and he says, join me on the odd verses. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, 1 Peter 1, 6, though now for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Really, that's enough right there for our text, okay? We'll get into these verses. Let's pray. My dear Father, thank you so much for today. And Lord, it's a good Sunday. It's always a good day when we have church, and it's your day. It's your day. And I pray that you will receive the honor and glory and praise from all that happens around here. It's been good, Lord, to be with your people. I enjoyed the laughter and the serious moments and the burdens that we shared in the Family Bible Hour in our class. And good to be with brothers and sisters, and good to hear this morning the good singing and be blessed by it. Now, Lord, it's time for preaching. One more song and then we get to the message. So please prepare our hearts with the song and then help me, I pray, to open your word. Be a blessing to folks in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Before I my Master. Yes, Jesus cares for me.
Good song this morning. Thank you. Whoa, hello. We are there. We are on. It is hot. Not this thing's hot. There we go. We'll get it fixed here this morning. Very good. I want to look at verse number 6. And Peter writing here wrote these words. It still doesn't sound right, Brother Payne, if you could help me here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations. I want to speak on the subject, not my most favorite season. Not my most favorite season. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we love you. We thank you that before we loved you, you loved us. And Lord, that we are reassured through the difficulties in life of your great love. You don't love us through fair weather and abandon us through the difficult times. You're a faithful God who loves us without change. God, that's amazing. As we sang at the beginning of the hour, amazing love. So Lord, let's talk a little bit about that this morning. And as I do, give me wisdom and power and grace to say what needs to be said. And I pray to fall on good ground, help some heart, some person that needs it, encourage some soul. Bless those, I pray, that are here this morning in that type season right now. And then, Lord, if somebody's here without Christ, please, may the Spirit of God draw them to the blessed Savior. In Jesus' name is my prayer made. And amen. What would your response be if someone asked you the question, what is your favorite season of the year? I would guess that most of you would probably answer, most of us would probably answer, spring or fall. Some would answer summer. I've met some folks who like it hot. They like it as hot as it can get. I don't like it. You can only take so many clothes off and be a decent Christian. So, if it gets cold, you can put stuff on. But you can only take so much off. And some people like summer, though. Some people like the heat. A few, and I would venture to say, although I would have some, and I would venture to say a crowd like this, a few might say winter. Maybe a few. A handful might say, I love winter. Now, probably you don't get out in it. You probably move to Arizona for the winter. That's why you like winter or Florida. But, cold winds blowing on a bleak, gray day where it's the shortest amount of sunlight in the year and it's getting dark by 4:30, 4:45, and dirty leftover snow piled up here and there, here and about. That's not the kind of picture you put on a postcard attempting to lure tourists to your area. You don't do that. I usually, in January, will get a postcard from Jim Blaylock, who's down in Jupiter or West Palm Beach, Florida, and he'll send me a picture of Jupiter in January, and he'll write on the back, just thinking about you. I can't send a card like that in the wintertime that would be appealing to somebody from our area, okay? Now look at verse number 6, okay? Verse number 6, look at the first three or four words, four words of the verse. Peter wrote, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now, when you read that phrase, you understand that it's what he's been talking about in verses 3, 4, and 5 that create the rejoicing heart. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, talking about the things that came before verse number 6. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. All those things Peter just talked about. And who couldn't rejoice in those, folks? God's abundant mercy, God's miracle second birth, the living hope of heaven kept by God's power. Brother, I don't keep myself saved. I'm kept by God. Amen. And who couldn't say amen and rejoice? And that's what Peter said. These wonderful things, they create a great attitude of rejoicing in our hearts. Why wouldn't they? They are great blessings, wonderful and blessed truths for the child of God. And then he says, in verse number 6, though after he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, then he says, though now. Okay, though now. It kind of goes a different direction, doesn't it? Though now. Though now for a season, year in heaviness. Through manifold, many temptations that the trial of your faith, and he goes on to talk there. It's like saying in the month of January here in the Midwest, man, don't you enjoy the beautiful rolling fields of golden corn and soybeans as they ripen and the sun setting over just comes across those fields and it makes it so beautiful? And don't you love the glory of a panorama of colors as the leaves burst into crimson red and bright yellows? And don't you enjoy hearing the grain bins roaring as they dry out the recently harvested fruits of the field and you see the grain gushing out of the combines into the wagons that are hooked to green or red tractors as the farmers bring home the harvest from the field? Don't you enjoy that? Isn't that a blessing? Though now the snow is falling and the wind is howling and the temperature is 26 degrees, but it feels like 12 because of the wind chill. That's what Peter's saying here. He said we got a lot to rejoice in, man. All of God's mercy and the second birth and the living hope that's reserved for us, undefiled and incorruptible and doesn't fade away. And we're kept by the power of God. And man, hallelujah. Wherein we greatly rejoice. But now you're in a different season. It's a different season. Peter says the truths of the Christian life create an attitude of rejoicing. And there's a season for that, but there will also be seasons of heaviness as well. Though now. Kind of heavy. Been kind of heavy the last several days. Been kind of heavy. Been that kind of season. Somebody said, are you having a better Sunday? Anything is better than where we were last Sunday. You know, when you're at the bottom, the only direction to go is up. Amen. So, and it still could have, the bottom could have been further down last Sunday, but for God's grace. And it seems to have had minimal impact on our bus ministry in this area. That's a blessing. Seems that. So, you know, then Sunday's over and I'm sitting in the living room and the phone rings about 9:40 and Brother Bragg tells me about Brother Jeff breaking his ankle. He said, Pastor, it's a compound fracture, and he described it. It was awful. And I said, oh my goodness, and just got a new baby. And I said, Brother Mike, lock the doors and send everybody home. And we had, you know, a couple of people with outpatient surgeries this week and another person go back in the hospital and have some tests and it ended well with Jody and Tony's premature baby, but there was some concern there a month early and then some non-health related difficulties that are heavier than the physical sicknesses to carry. I'm not whining. I'm not complaining. I'm not discouraged. I don't need a shoulder to cry on this morning. I got a tremendous wife. I got a great wife. God blessed me with a good wife. And we lay in bed trying to go to sleep, and she, are you troubled about something? Are you troubled about something? Well, why do you ask that? Well, you've been on edge. Well, can't deny it. What a great, great wife. And we talked. Supportive staff. Sensitive church. I want to say publicly, I thank God for all you men that called last Monday. As a blessing. As a blessing. I appreciate that. I mean that with all my heart. And, you know, a great wife, a supportive staff, a sensitive church, and a powerful God. That kind of combination, you do pretty good. Amen. So I'm not discouraged. I'm just here in this passage this morning to remind us in life, personally, family, and the life of a church, there are different seasons. You listening this morning? There are different seasons. There are seasons of rejoicing, and then there are seasons of heaviness. And that's what I'm here to remind us about this morning. And the thing that I want to draw our attention to, I guess if there's one simple truth, yet so poignant, it is that those seasons of heaviness, whether it's personal, whether it's in your family, whether it's in a church, those seasons of heaviness don't come to stay. They come to pass. They come to pass. Everybody goes through. There are seasons. I like the word season. Now, this is not my most favorite season of the year. As far as I'm talking about, fall is my favorite season. We get into February. It's not my most favorite season. But I know spring's coming. And I, you know, if I had to rank it, it'd be fall 1, spring 2, summer 3, and winter 4. Maybe, I don't know, if I like winter better than summer. I don't know. But when you get in one that you don't particularly care for, you realize it's going to be changing. It's going to be changing. And that's what Peter is saying here. There are seasons of heaviness and seasons of trial and seasons of tears and seasons of heartache. And everybody goes through them, but they are for a season. There are many scriptures that tell us trials are for a season. In fact, this word season is an interesting word in this verse. It means puny. Look it up. It means puny. Puny in extent, puny in duration. Peter said we go through puny times or small times, if you will, or short times of heaviness and heartache. Now, I don't think he's necessarily talking about the tight trial. I'm not trying to make light of a man who fractures his ankle and he's off work and he's got to have surgery again in 4 days and then who knows from what. And people that are still getting over bumps and bruises and Tracy didn't just have a broken shoulder, she had cracked ribs and thankfully the 6-month baby in her womb is still okay and Kara's up and running around and doing good. But I mean, people still getting over this stuff. And I don't mean to minimize that. But Paul said these seasons of heaviness, as far as the duration goes, they're puny. They're small, okay? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1. I'm just going to give you some scriptures this morning. Let the Bible speak for itself, okay? Make some comments on each passage and then we'll be done. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm not saying anything that I'd say 95% of you haven't heard before. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you go to the book of Psalms, turn to your right, you come to Proverbs, and you come to Ecclesiastes. Written by Solomon. Chapter 3, one of the most familiar passages in all the Bible. Great passage. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Solomon wrote this: to everything there is a season. There's that word. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now look down at verse number 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. You see that word season in verse number 1? It means a fixed appointed time. A season, a fixed appointed time. There is a fixed appointed time for this. There is a fixed appointed time for weeping. There's a fixed appointed time for mourning. There's a fixed appointed time for laughing. There's a fixed appointed time for dancing or hilarity. But you're going to go through seasons. Now, folks, the seasons are relative to each person. You know, there are only a few places on earth where there is no change in the season. You know that. But even those people, for people there, a small change in climate for people who live in those places where there is no fluctuation is like a huge change for those of us who live where there's four seasons. I get, you know, you ever talk to somebody who lives in one of those moderate temperatures year round? And it gets down to 60. How you doing? I'm freezing. It's cold. How cold is it? It's 60 degrees. Makes you want to laugh. 60 degrees. But it's big to them when they're used to 75 and 80. So it's a relative thing. The heaviness is a relative thing. But everybody goes through different seasons. And as you do, the thing to remember is there is a fixed appointed time for each season. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. This is how I encourage myself. encourage myself by pulling myself up by the bootstraps. It's going to get better. I think I can. It's going to get better. I think I can. It's going to get better. I think I can. It's going to get better. All it takes is one phone call to go, shh. You go to Bible truth. There is a fixed, appointed time for every season. That means the season of heaviness is going to come to an end. It's going to change. It's going to come. Look, we hadn't heard from Ben and Ashley in 3 or 4 days, and then we finally got an email from him. And it just, you know, basically said, Dad, internet and phone lines are down, so we can't talk. Won't be hearing from us for a while. And then we got another email. Phone and internet lines still down. Cell phone quit working. No electricity. It said, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anyway because the electricity is off because the other night it was surging bright, dim, bright, dim. And finally the bulb in the kitchen blew. Psh, exploded, and the meter was crackling, so I just shut it off at the main. I called a French electrician who can't come for several days. I'm not going to get a Malagasy electrician because I don't trust him. And he said, Ken has been sick, and we thought it was the flu. We don't know, and she's had a hard time, and they caught a boy using the bathroom in the, all over the yard. And that's all I'll say, just... And said, I think she got into it. And we don't know for sure what. And he said, the air conditioner quit working in the car. He said, which doesn't sound like a big thing till you're stuck in traffic and behind diesel trucks that are belching out diesel smoke and the little girls are in the car. And he said, you know what? I told my wife, if I told her once, I told her a dozen times. When they were on deputation, they almost had deputation without a hitch. They raised their money in 14 months, I think it was. They traversed this country. People were kind to them, were good to them. They went to Madagascar with things for the home that they needed. Other missionaries now wished they had done. They laughed at Ben for taking a container. And that now they're saying, we wish we'd have taken a container because you can't get this stuff in Madagascar. And they told us we could. And I mean, from the time they started deputation until the time they landed, things went almost without a hitch. And I told her, I said, you know, they're going to go through it. They're going to go through it sometime. I don't know how long this is going to last. He said, we're trying to get off the ground, but it seems like we just get buried deeper. That's what he said. And I'm not whining for him this morning. Look, you say, are you heartless? No, I'm not heartless. Of course, man, I read that, and that's harder on my wife than it is me. But I'm simply saying this morning, folks, to think that we're going to live life and not have seasons of heaviness is not real. It's not real. Seasons of heaviness come to everybody. Everybody goes through seasons of heaviness, and those seasons are for a fixed, appointed length of time. That's what the Bible teaches us here. So we got this fixed, appointed time of heaviness, a season that we don't particularly care for. It's not my most favorite season, but I don't have to give up on God. I don't have to get a bad attitude. I don't have to have a pity party and feel bad for myself because it's a fixed, appointed time. It's a season. There's a reason God used that word, isn't there? A season. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn over there in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul writing again about the length, if you will, the time of trials. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, watch this now, which is but for a moment. Paul said trials are momentary. They're momentary, but for a... Folks, there's no word on accident in your Bible. That word is there by God on purpose for a reason. God is again making the emphasis here. It's for a moment. It is momentary. Now, I'll be honest with you. Hold your finger right here, 2 Corinthians 4, and flip over to chapter 11. Look at chapter 11 here real quick, 2 Corinthians 4. You hold your finger there. We're going right back there in a moment. Chapter 11. When I read chapter 11, I think, boy, Paul, moment? These things are for moments? Look at verse 23. And we've been here before. This is not new to you. Look at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Weariness and painfulness, watchings often, that means without sleep. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Do you see the words often? When I read that, I say, Paul, you talk about trials being momentary? Sounds to me like trials almost followed Paul everywhere he went. I mean, in one place he wrote to a church, I forget which one he wrote to, and I think one of the churches in the book of Acts there. And he said, hey, by the way, he said, now, when I get there, there's trouble waiting. Just want to let you know in advance. You're going to hear about it. And yet in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he called, let's go back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he called all of these things momentary, which are for, verse 17, which is but for a moment. He said they're momentary. Now how could Paul look at his trials as momentary when they were as diverse and as varied and as often as Paul's were? Look at verse number 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. Paul said, I can't put my eyes on the jail cell. I can't put my eyes on the weariness. I can't put my eyes on the sleepless night. I can't put my eyes on the perils. I can't put my eyes on the stoning. I can't put my eyes on the shipwreck. He said, folks, if that's what I look at, that's what I think about. If that's what I look at, that's what dominates my mind. If I get my eyes on those things, I go crazy. He said, we don't look, verse 18, at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Paul said, I survived these seasons, these momentary seasons of difficulty. I survived them by keeping my eyes on eternity. Look at me. If Paul's ministry lasted about 30 years, and if trials followed him everywhere he went, that means 30 years of trials. Well, he can't call that momentary. Can I ask you what 30 years is compared to eternity? Folks, there's no way Paul could call 30 years of difficulty momentary unless he had his eyes on eternity. He couldn't have his eyes on his trials. If he had had his eyes on his trials, he would have said, man, I am overwhelmed. I am neck deep. I can't handle this. It's everywhere I go. It's every day. But his eyes were not on the trials. His eyes were on eternity. 30 years compared to eternity is like a drop in the ocean. It's not even a drop in the ocean. And this is exactly what Paul's saying here. Look, you talk to Mickey Camp sometimes. They ran out of room. We're down a bus with mechanical problems. We lost a bus last weekend. And so they had to run some cars out to Momentum to pick up. And they, you know what? They ran out of room. Where's Chris? Right, Chris? That guy right there is a blessing. I remember when that boy couldn't even say hello to people. Stood over in a corner of the gym and was afraid to even say hello. God has done some wonderful things in Chris Heisel's life. Now he's the bus captain over there. And how many did you pick up, Chris, in cars? And you didn't have room for everybody. Left people. They didn't have room in all the cars this morning. Had to leave people. I hate that. But what a good job. And they didn't have room for Mickey. Mickey doesn't like riding in a car. You ever see Mickey Camp come in back there? He's all bent over. The guy is bent like a 90-degree angle. And you talk to him and say, Mickey, you know what? One of these days, my friend, and boy, he knows he's saved. He's the longest member of this church. He outdates anybody. Am I right? Mary, does he outdate you? You're before him. Okay, well, he's almost there. Delbert? Nobody outdates Delbert. But pretty close. He's pretty close there. You talk to Mickey, and you know what you start talking about heaven to Mick? And he can't speak, but he'll start, one of these days, I'm going home.
You know, he's got his eyes on eternity. Get cerebral palsy. Nothing wrong with his mind. Sharp as a tack. Body racked with that cerebral palsy. And yet you talk to him, and honestly, folks, he has a better attitude than some people have with a cold.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Terrible. I feel terrible.
Hello. We must look beyond the season of heaviness and keep our eyes on eternity. I'm going to a land that is fairer than day. And I'm going to live there forever. I can endure the unpleasant seasons. How? Keep my eye of faith on heaven. I'm going to. Did you ever knock on a door in December visiting with somebody and just trying to make conversation? You say to them, well, boy, it's been cold, hasn't it? Yeah, yeah, but you know what? Hey, in 10 days, we're leaving. Really? Oh, we're going to Arizona. Going to Florida. We'll be back till April. He's not worried about the snow, the wind, the rain. Because he's got his mind on where he's going. How you doing, Christian? Okay. Really? You're prepared for winter? You're prepared for the heaviness? Yeah, I'll be leaving. When are you going to be? Maybe today. If I don't leave today, I may leave tomorrow. And if I don't leave tomorrow, I may leave. Where are you going? Heaven. You say, that's childish. What are you talking about, childish? Why do you think about 80% of the songs in this book right here, 70% of them are about heaven? What do you think? Probably a reason, huh? That we sing those songs and get blessed because, folks, this is not it for us. This is not it for us. What's going on? So it's a fixed appointed time. And the better season's coming. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now go there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5. We've got two more passages and we're done. 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse 10. I'm just talking about reoccurring theme all through the Bible. Peter said, though now for a season. Paul said, but for a moment. Solomon said, it's a fixed appointed time. Now here's Peter again writing in chapter 5, verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, what's the next two words? A while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I'm not sure any of us have suffered like Peter did and other Christians, Paul, centuries gone by. But folks, the thing here, I'm not comparing the suffering. It's what I want you to see is the reoccurring theme, a while. A while. Back to that same word that means small, puny, or short. A short season. Here it is again. And Peter said, God's grace causes the sorrow, the heartache to grow us up, to complete us, to establish us, to strengthen us, and to settle us. God's grace in the season, that appointed fixed time of difficulty that's going to end, in that time frame, God's grace will be at work to mature us and grow us up. And that's when before Brother Caleb, Brother Jason went early to the hospital last week, before Brother Caleb left, we got on our knees in the office back there. I told you this, we prayed. And this was a threefold prayer. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for 38 or 39 years of no serious accidents. And thank you that nobody died today. Number two, help us to learn. This is one of the purposes for the season of heaviness. To establish, strengthen, and settle us. Mature us. Brother Calvin, you took that little guy to that hospital and found out he had a tumor on his brainstem the size of a golf ball. And they're rushing him into surgery that lasted 11 hours. Right? Phew. 9 years of age. Was that heavy? Gee. Heavy, yeah. Teach. I didn't prime this. I didn't prime the pump this morning. Teach. This is what the seasons of heaviness are for. Teach. God, I got grace. And I want this grace to be an influence in your heart to establish and settle and strengthen and grow you and teach you. You know what? We get so consumed with the heaviness, we don't learn the lesson. If there's anything that Paul was remembered for in his ministry, if there's any statement that Paul is remembered for, you know, Paul wrote by what we count with his pen, it was God's words, but his pen that put it on paper. Paul was responsible for 13 New Testament books. Now, can I ask you, what phrase out of all that Paul wrote, what phrase is he most known for probably? My grace is what? How many of you have quoted that to yourselves before, huh? Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He learned this. This is what he learned. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. I told you we had two places. We're done. 2 Corinthians 12. This is the last place we're going this morning. Everybody okay? We're doing all right this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. My point was, before Calvin answered from the floor, that I was going to ask him, did you learn anything? He already said. Without even being primed. Look at verse 7. Paul writing now, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I won't even go into what people think that is. Now look at, because verse 8 is what I want us to see. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul said, I made three specific times of prayer where I said, God, please take this away. Please take this away. Please take this. Take this. Take this away. Take it away. Isn't that what we get like in seasons of heaviness? Lord, take it away. Change it. Make it better. Help it to go away. Now. Isn't that what we say? Sure is what we say. Look what God said in verse 9. He said unto me, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, listen very carefully. It's not our business to be consumed with the length of the unpleasant season and what it contains. It is our business to apply the grace of God for however long it lasts. Are you listening this morning? This is what we get consumed with. God, your grace is... Okay. I went to visit that boy, Brian, and I walked in the hospital room, like it is with every child who's ever been in the hospital. You know what there was in his bed? There was toys and books and games and things that he was doing and playing and reading and I can't remember now if he had, but sometimes you go to a hospital room where there's a child, there's a blanket. Went in the hospital room last, and little Kara had the stuffed animal under her arm, Dave. The stuffed animal. And that's what you do for children. You take them their toys. You take them their favorite blanket. You take them their little books. You take them their little things. And you take them all those things to get their mind off where they are, give them something to do in the hospital, and get their mind off the pain, get their mind off the IV, get their mind off the needle. Isn't that part of what a parent does? And the first time I visited there, he's still getting over the surgery, and he's got something under his arm, he's got something in the bed, and he's just, you know, he's not really using. The second time I visited there, he's coming out of it. Man, he's got these things, he's playing with them, got these action figures, and he's playing, and just, you know, he's... Now look at me. When we go through a season of heaviness, God doesn't give us toys to play with. He doesn't give us a stuffed animal or a nice blanket or a book or a crossword puzzle. He gives us grace. And you've got to do the same thing with grace that his little boy did with his crossword puzzle, that his little girl did with that stuffed animal. You got to take grace and use it. Employ it. And if we will, through the seasons of heaviness, it's there. God said his grace is there. Find it. Use it. Cuddle with it. Write with it. Play with it. But find God's grace and make it work. See it work. And in that season of heaviness, we learn, we're taught, we're instructed, we're grown up, we're matured. And the truth of the matter is, when we live to be 75, if God gives us life that long, we look back over life and we see that it was not the mountaintop experiences that taught us as much as the valleys did. Not my most favorite season. How do you go to sleep? How do you handle it? How do you stay encouraged? You don't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Because the news may get worse before it gets better. You grab hold to a Bible truth and you say, you know what? This is a part of life. It is a season of heaviness. Peter talked about it. Solomon talked about it. Paul talked about it. It's in the book. It's a fixed appointed time. I'm headed out of this thing. And ultimately, I am headed to a better place. And somewhere in all this is God's grace. I got to find it and pull it close and learn from it and come out on the other side a more mature Christian. Amen. It's not my most favorite season. I can't say I have enjoyed this week. But I hope I've learned some things. And I can say that his grace has been there every day. And Dave, I hope it has been for you and for your precious wife and for you, Jeff, and for these ladies that had outpatient surgery and for Brother Steve and on and on. For some of you families that are in heartache this morning, I hope you'll find God's grace and pull it close. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Dear Father, bless our time in your word this morning. Make it profitable, I pray. This is not some phony baloney psychology. This is Bible truth. Help us, please, in those seasons that are not our most favorite. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, nobody's looking. Now, can I say this morning, first of all, there may be some people here going through a season of heaviness I don't know anything about. I know several, and they're more than normal right now. There's always somebody going through a season of heaviness, but it's more than normal right now. I may not have known about your situation. I may still not know about it, but God does. Did God speak to your heart this morning? Did he? Pastor, I want to raise my hand. Include me in prayer just a moment when you finalize the service, because the Lord spoke to my heart this morning in a specific way. Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, who's here would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, one of the reasons I can get through a season of heaviness is because I know where this thing's all going to end. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that. I know I'm saved. Pray for, I just raised my hand as a testimony of that. I know I'm saved. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the building? Just to testify that you're saved. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone here this morning that could not raise your hand just now? You do not have the assurance that you're going to heaven someday. In fact, you don't know where you're going when you die. And all you've got to hope for is that things get better on earth. They may not get better on earth. But if you're born again into God's family, one of these days you'll be in heaven. Brother Angel, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven or not when I die. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Let me just pray for you this morning. Slip it up. God bless you. And put it right down. Not sure that you're saved. Anybody like that here? Anybody else? Not sure that I'm saved. If you're not sure that you're saved, I would invite you, when the invitation is given, to come forward. Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. That's the most critical decision you'll ever make in life. Are you saved? Anybody here? I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. Pastor, I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? So there's a couple people. God bless you. If this is the time of you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, it's wonderful. You can come right now if you're ready to obey Him. Step out while we wait. If not, come when the music begins. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism today. If you've been thinking and praying about joining the church, you've talked to one of us about it, you've come to your decision, you know this is where God wants you, this is the invitation for that as well. Dear Father, I pray for any that are lost in this building this morning. I pray for those that need to be baptized. I pray, God, for every hand that went up. A season of heaviness, and Lord, they need grace. They need to learn from the grace that's there. I pray, oh God, you'll meet every need in this room. Thank you for your blessed word and all that it teaches us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, when the music begins, ladies, what are you playing? Are you playing Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord? Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Matchless Grace, whatever it's called. That'd be a good song this morning. If you raised your hand, God spoke to your heart, now's the time to come. You're not sure that you're saved, now's the time to come. Need to be baptized, now's the time to come. Join the church as God leads, now's the time to come. When the music begins, you just step out in the aisle. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're having an invitation. Would you come? Many hands were raised. I hope that you'll step out this morning. Always use the altar. God speaks to your heart. Would you come? Would you come? Am I sure that you're saved? You need to be saved. You need to be baptized in obedience to the Lord. You come this morning. Now's the time. That's right. God bless you.